Today's shir is Masechta Chulin Daf Ches. We will begin Daf Ches Amud Aleph at the top of the Amud. Amar Rav Zeira Amar Shmuel Libein Sakin. Somebody heated up a knife until it's red hot, the shachet bomb, and then he used that knife to do a shchita. The halacha is shchitas k'sheira, that the shchita is considered a valid shchita, and we need not be concerned that the animal was slaughtered because of the heat of the knife, and not by the edge of the knife, by the sharp of knife. And of course, the only proper way of shechting an animal, the only way of properly shechting an animal is by heating, is by cutting the simonim, the konim, and the veshit, not any way else. Because we can safely assume, says the Gemara, the chiduda koidim lilibuna, that the knife cut before the heat did any burning. So the Rashba asks, even though that happened, the halacha should be that the part of the knife did burn some of the simonim. So says the Rashba that, well, at this point the Gemara is assuming that the only thing that's involved is heat. There's nothing else that is to take it into consideration in such an act. But ask the Gemara, aren't there the sides of the knife, which are also very hot, and they're touching the simonim and are burning them? And the halacha is that when one of the simonim get burnt, it's like it had a puncture. And the halacha is that a simon that has a puncture is going to be a defect in the animal. So if the defect only happened after the shechita, that wouldn't be a concern. But here we need to be concerned, asked the Gemara, that burning of the simonim took place before the shechita was finished. That means that the animal became treif before the got this defect, before the simonim were completely sorted, and therefore that would be considered a case that the simonim have a simon, and the simonim that have this defect become the apostle. So the Gemara is learning, according to Rashi, that the sides of the knife burn the sides of the knife burn the simonim. That another and that's why the halacha ought to be that this will disqualify the shechita. Answers the Gemara, what happens is, Beis HaShechita Mervach Revach. The Beis HaShechita keeps on expanding. And since the Beis HaShechita keeps on expanding, they never touches the knife never touches them. Ask the Gemara, the Torah HaKadosha, when it speaks about the Goyim, the Torah speaks about Saras Hashin Shchin Vamichva. And the Torah says that if a person has on his body a boil, and the boil could come on the body for one of two ways. Either it could come from the natural heat of the body, it develops from an infection or whatever. And the other way it could happen is because it was exposed to heat. Now, when that boil gets healed, if there's a nega on that spot, under certain circumstances, it becomes tame. The halacha of the nega, and as again, we're saying that there are two types of negoim in this, there's negas hashchin, which is a boil that came naturally, or a nega that came because somebody hit him, or there's mechva, it was burnt. If on that spot there's white hair, then the kohen immediately says that this person is tamei. He's considered a matzara mukhlet that must be quarantined. If there are no white hairs, the halacha is the kohen sequesters this person for a week. During that week, he's called a matzara muzger, a matzara that's sequestered. After that week, the kohen goes and examines the nega another time. If the nega grew more than it was, then, or then automatically, then he will become tamei. If the nega did not grow, but it has grew white hair, again, he's a mitzayra. But if neither of these two conditions were met, it didn't spread and it didn't get white hairs, he's tar. The halacha is that the size of the nega to be considered a problematic nega is a gris. Moreover, that let's say you have a combination, as we're going to learn, of a nega which is made up of shchin and mikva. We're going to learn in our shir that they don't combine. So now the Gemara, after the introduction that our shir gave today, examined this in the light of the halacha of negoim. If somebody has a hot piece of metal and he hits somebody with that hot piece of metal, and then after that wound healed, there's a nega. The question is, the question of the Gemara is, how does the halacha look at that as a situation of mikva or shchin? Ask the Gemara, at first glance, l'may nafkamina, what's the difference if it's shchin or mikva? As we just described, the halacha of shchin and mikva are the same. So why would it make a difference if it's either or? Says the Gemara, l'chiratanya, as the Brisa teaches us, shchin or mafkin mikva metam b'shvu echad. Unlike all other cases of teras, when the Torah speaks about seis, sapachas, or beheris, when the Torah talks about those negoim, the halacha is that if such a nega, chas v'shalom, forms in a person, the kohen sequesters him, but the halacha is that the kohen sequesters him for 1 week. If at the end of the week, nothing changed, he's sequestered for a second week. By shchin and a mikva, as we just said, there's only 1 week of being sequestered. And if the nega spread after the first week, then he becomes a full-fledged mitzayra. If it didn't spread after the first week, then the halach is that he's not a mitzayra at all. He's considered tar. So again, shchin and mikva, metam b'shvu echad, b'shnei simonim. There's two ways, as we explained, how somebody could become tamei that way. Either b'sari lovin, if there's a white hair, and the halacha is that a white hair makes the person tamei immediately. He doesn't have to, it has nothing to do with a week. Or the pesayin, as we said, if it's spread. V'lama chilkan akasav, why did the Torah have two separate parshias, one about a shchin and one about a nifcha? Mikva, loimet the teacher shem start from zemiza. If you have a gris, but the gris is only a combination of these two types of negoim, then the person will not be tamei. Netanya, and there's another braisa that says, eiz a shchin. The braisa wants to identify what is a shchin and what is a mifcha. It says the Gemara laka be'eitz be'evin. Somebody was wounded with a piece of wood or with a stone. Begefes, if there was the leftover of olives after they're pressed, that they're hot. Bechamei tferia, or somebody hand was put into the chamei tferia that are just naturally hot. The kavdava shloim machzor, or the wound formed not because of heat. Lasuya evim yikara, if it was exposed to lead when it's taken out of the ground, and the lead when it's taken out of the ground is very hot. All of these are examples of shchin. There's a mikva. What is an example of a mikva? Nichva begechelis, if he got wounded by a hot coal, beremetz, ashes, besidre seach, hot lime, begifsus reseach, is a different type of lime. B'chol dav abom machas or anything else that the heat emanates from fire. L'suya chama or that if something, water that was heated by fire, all of these are a mikvah. V'tanyan continues the Gemara, the Braisa teaches us, shchin u'mikvah, if you have a shchin and a mikvah at the same place, im shchin kaidul u'mikvah, if the shchin preceded the mikvah, batal mikvah as a shchin, then the mikvah since the mikvah came second, it's considered a mikvah situation. V'mikvah kaidus l'shchin, and if the mikvah came before the shchin, then batal shchin as a mikvah. and then it's considered a shkin situation. L'may nafgamina. The nafgamina is that if you had a shkin that was a half a gris big, and now it got burnt by fire on that half a gris, that place is now a mikveh. And now if there'll be another half of gris of shkin, then it won't be connected, because we have here a situation of half a gris of mikveh and half a gris of shkin. Because if the shkin, according to the halacha, would still be considered, if the shkin would be considered halacha, still a shkin, and now you got another half a gris of shkin, so now you have a full gris of shkin. That's the poshta nafkamina in learning this Gemara. Another nafkamina that Rishonim give is that for counting, if it was originally a shkin and then it became a mikvah, so we said, we've been saying throughout our shir that of shkin, that you have to sequester him for a week. But the halach will be that if the week started as a shkin and then it forms into a mikvah, the count restarts and you have to wait a week from time to start the mikvah. Says the Gemara, v'hocha hechi dami. So expands the Gemara to explain exactly what happened here. Says the Gemara, you're going to have a bechatzi gris shkin mikara. You started with a chatzi gris of shkin. The liben sheep shpud v'hikabah. And then you took a hot piece of metal and wounded the person. The nafak bechatzi gris acher. So this has two elements to it. You hit the person, so that's a shkin. But there's also heat involved, and that's mikvah, mai. And now, the halacha has to consider, how do we look at the situation? Do we say the chavota kadam, the first, there was the wound because of being hit, and then we said just a moment ago, whatever happens second is the determining situation. So now if the heat comes afterwards, vasal havlom of atalei l'chavota, it's considered now a situation of mikvah, not shkin. V'alei shkin u'mikvah. And therefore, if you're going to have such a situation, we're going to have a chatzi gris of shkin and a chatzi gris of mikvah, not combining. I don't know, do we say the havla kodem, the heat attacks first, and then osei chavot, and then the wound that he got hit, v'atalei l'havla. And therefore, if you're ready to have a chatzi gris of shkin, and we'll attach this to it, havle shkin a shkin, we'll have two chatzi gris of shkin, and we'll have a gris of shkin that's mitzdarif to be a neged. Toshma, so the Gemara wants to bring a raya from what we began our shir today, because we began our shir by teaching us, Dom Rab Zera, Omishmu, Libein Sakim Shokabah, if somebody heated up a knife and shechted the animal, the Gemara began, Shchitosik Sheir, it's considered that the Shchit is a good kosher Shchita. For Rav Zera taught us, the halacha views this, that Chiduta Koidim Lilibuna, the cutting came before the heat. So we see that the Gemara is ostensibly teaching us that in such a situation, the halacha says Chavata Koidim. Says the Gemara, the case that Rav Zera spoke about cannot be a riot to the Shaila. Because here, we're speaking about chidut shani. It's the sharpness that's cutting. So the sharpness comes before the heat. But that doesn't necessarily teach us anything regarding the actual hitting, what comes first when you have hitting and heat. Tashma. So Gemara wants to bring a raya from the following braisa. The braisa says, Liban shvod v'hikabah, if you heated up a piece of metal and you hit somebody, nidin b'shem mikvas eish. So we see, isn't this a raya that the chavata comes before the heat? Alma chavata kaidim. Answers the Gemara, again, that price is not a raya. Hasan nami de maveris bias. There, it's a case that where the person didn't just get hit, but what happens is he was stabbed with the knife. There, therefore, it's a situation of chidud. And as we're learning in our shir now, chidud always comes before the heat. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabbi Bavua, Sakin Shal Avayim Skachavim, if I have a knife that belongs to Avayim Zara, the halach is such a knife is Osir Bahana, but Mutta Lishkaba, we'll let it use it to do Shechita, for Osir Lachta Vabasa, but we may not use that knife to cut meat. And the Gemara explains itself. Muta l'shchepa, it may be used to do a shchita, because shchita is considered an act of mekalkel. Why? Because an animal that's alive is much more valuable than a dead animal. Because while the animal is alive, it can be used for many constructive purposes. It can be used to raise children. It can be used for work. And it could be left that ultimately will eat it. Once it's slaughtered, it's only usable for eating. So therefore, even though this is a second shel avodah zarah, it's still considered an act, and you're not allowed to have anah from it. But here, it's makalkal. It's being used in a destructive fashion. And since it's being used in a destructive fashion, it's not considered that I'm having anah from avodah zarah. However, also lakta by basar, but to use it just to cut meat, that would be, it's asur, because that is considered masakinhu. I'm using the meat to cut the knife, which is a very constructive act. The achronim tried to understand why would it be asur, why, says the Gemara, Amarava, Sometimes you can't do shechita with this knife. When? If we have a situation when the animal is musukenis, when the animal is about to die. So if you're not going to shecht it, you're not going to have much use of this animal. So here, killing it is considered a masakin. And pamim, and sometimes, mechatach basar, cutting meat, is considered destructive. What does that mean? When you have a whole nice piece of meat, which could be used to give somebody a gift or is something very choshev. And now when you cut this meat, what you're really doing is you're cutting it to smaller pieces, that's considered that you did something destructive. So our Gemara discussed the halacha of a knife of a avodah zarah. If using it for shechita is not considered a beneficial act, because that's considered an act of mekalkel. Says the Rambam that even though the Gemara is saying that if you have a healthy animal, you should not use the knife for shechita, that doesn't mean that you could use it lechatchila. What he says the Gemara means to say that b'dieved, if somebody used such a knife to do a shechita, the meat is permitted for consumption, because that is not eating the meat that was slaughtered with a knife of avodah zarah, certainly a healthy animal, is not considered that you derive benefit from the avodah zarah. However, according to the Rambam, if you use the avodah zarah knife to slice meat, then you would not be allowed to eat that meat, because it's considered that you had hanah from a knife of avodah zarah. The Rashba disagrees with the Rambam on both counts. He says that if somebody used a knife for avodah zarah to shecht, and as we started this piece of Gemara, that's considered an act of kilkel. The halach is that even lechatchila, you're allowed to eat that meat. Secondly, says the Rashba, that even though we're learning that one shouldn't slice meat with an avodah zarah knife, because it's considered an act of mesakin, b'dieved, if one ate the meat, sliced the meat with such a knife, the meat is not osur. The Gemara Masechet Avodah Zarah, Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, Rebbe Elazar teaches us that if somebody baked bread in an oven, heated wood of Avodah Zarah, you're allowed to eat the bread, provided somebody takes the monetary gain that he got from Avodah Zarah and throws it into the sea, Yoy L'chanol Yom HaMelech. Says the Rashba, in this case as well, you're allowed to eat the meat sliced with an avodah zarah knife. However, what you have to do is whatever financial benefit, monetary benefit you made, you're going to have to throw into the sea. But now, of course, the Rishonim question, how do you make that evaluation? Says the Torah, and the Torah actually quotes the Rashba, says what you have to do is determine what would it cost to rent such a knife to slice meat, and whatever the value of cut of that is, whatever that rental fee would be, that's what you have to throw into the sea. The Rashba and Taras Abayis says that there's a different way of making this evaluation. He says what you have to evaluate is the difference in price between sliced meat and unsliced meat. And whatever sliced meat is more valuable than sliced meat, that's whatever sliced meat is more valuable than unsliced meat is the amount that you're going to have to throw away. So as we just said, the Rambam says the L'chadchili you're not allowed to use that knife. So there's different ways of understanding what is the basis of the Rambam's psak. The Shach says the reason is because the knife has Isser absorbed into it, as we're going to see in a moment, and that's why you shouldn't use that meat. The Pre-Tayr says that when we're talking about this knife, so the knife is a knife of Avodah Zarah. So even though Halacha differentiates between an act of kilkel, or a destructive act or constructive act, what the Torah really wants is that we shouldn't use such a knife. And if the Torah really wants that we shouldn't use such a knife, it should not be used under any circumstances. And I saw a very similar shot from the Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi says that the basis is that we don't want you to bring into your home, a knife of Avodah Zarah. Since the Torah doesn't want you to bring in the knife of Avodah Zarah into your home, even if you're bringing it in a situation of kilkel, it doesn't make a difference. The Torah doesn't want that knife in your home. But Rabbi Kiveger asks a question, which is really something that the Rishonim discuss, that the halach is that kamilsa damrachman alay savid yavid loy mahani. So if the Torah doesn't want you to use this knife, as we just explained, ask Rabbi Kiveger, the shechita that's done with a knife that the Torah doesn't want you to use should be considered a disqualified shechita. Kamilsa damrachman alay savid yavid loy mahani. Says Rabbi Kiveger that what the Torah means to say is, where do we learn this rule? This rule is discussed extensively at the beginning of Masechta Temura, where the Torah says that you shouldn't substitute a carbon, an animal that's designated a carbon. And the Torah is saying a mitzvah. The Torah is saying that the mitzvah is that we don't want that this Temura should be effective. But when we're talking about an Avera, it's not talking about doing a mitzvah. It's just staying away from Avera, the rule of Kamilsa Damar Rachman Alay Savid Yavid Loy Mahani. He says another explanation that the Achroinim give, he says that if by saying that what you did is not effective, what we've effectively done is saved you from doing an Avera. So there we say, that means if what the Avera accomplishes is some sort of a chalois, it accomplishes something that is a transaction or something like that, so there we say, let's avoid the problem. But explain the Nachal Tzvi and other Achroinim. If somebody used a knife that is usser, so once you used a knife that's usser, the Avodah Zarah knife, as we're learning, that can't be reversed. Since that is not reversible, there's no point in saying, because it's already too late. It's already, the deed, so to speak, has been done. The Rav Shlomo Hyman says a similar vart, a little more lomdish. Rav Shlomo Hyman explains that the act of shechita is not the act. The act of shechita means that this is the way the animal has to be killed. And therefore, where do we say, he suggests that that's only said in a case where the knife, that's only said in a case where the act that we're talking about is mutter or asur. Here we're not talking about the act being mutter or asur. We're talking about the result, and the result that related to the act. But now there's another question. Why would it be a problem we're using this knife, even though it's an avodah zara knife? Isn't there a rule, a mitzvah lav lahenes netnu, when the shchita you'd be doing, because it's a mitzvah to do the shchita. And since you're doing the shchita, which is a mitzvah, so is that, shouldn't we apply the concept of mitzvah lav lahenes netnu, and therefore it's not considered that you had enough from the knife? So Rekiva Eger says that that's not considered an, when is a mitzvah not considered hanor? A mitzvah is not considered hanor when it's being done purely for a mitzvah's sake. However, over here, when the mitzvah is, when you're indeed shechting the animal, and it's of course a mitzvah to shecht in order to eat, and that's why, as we discussed at the beginning of the Masechta, before we shecht an animal for consumption, we make a bracha. But says Rabbi Kiva Eger, but why am I shechting the animal? I'm shechting the animal in order to be able to eat it. And since my ultimate goal is not a mitzvah goal, my ultimate goal is a hanah that I want to be able to eat meat. Here we can't say mitzvah lav lahenes netnu. The Shalosh Shavos Unag Yontif asks a different question. He says, as soon as we start shechting with this knife of avodah zara, why do we say? The Gemara says that why may we use the knife of avodah zara to kill an animal? Because the Gemara said, if it's a healthy animal, killing it is considered a destructive act. Says the Shalosh Shavos Unag Yontif, as soon as you puncture one of the simonim, it's no longer going to be, it's no longer a destructive act. Because that animal, what made the animal where it's alive more valuable, we keep on saying, is because it could be used to have babies, it could be used for work. Once it was punctured, it's not usable for any of these purposes. And once it's not usable for any of these purposes, the shechita hasn't been completed. Because the shechita, we know, is not completed until the shechita is finished. But now the rest of the shechita is a constructive act. So the Shalosh Shavos Unag Yontif says, from here we see, and this is a very important rule, and that is that when we speak about shechita, what is considered the moment of shechita? Is the moment of shechita at the beginning, begin from the beginning to the end? Is it considered one long act? Or is the shechita really only considered an act of shechita when I complete the shechita? Says the Unag Yontif, from here to Raya, that the halacha is yesh no l'shechita m'tchila v'atzoif. We don't look at the shechita having been accomplished only when the shechita is completed. It's shechita from the beginning to the end. Since it's considered an act of shechita from the beginning, at that point it was a destructive act. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, but we're speaking about this knife, and ask the Gemara, there's a new question. How can we use the knife of avodah zara and saying that it's okay because it's a destructive act? But ask the Gemara, take away, Mishum Shem Nunes the Asura. There's grease of in this knife, which is typically used for nevelis, and now when you shecht with that knife, the aloch is that knife, that grease goes into the animal. So the truth is, the many Echroinim asked, the Rashi says that the question should have been much simpler. That the halacha is that this halacha is not limited to avodah zara knife. And some say that Gemara is just strengthening the question, but the question that the Gemara is asking is relevant, not even to avoid a zara knife. But so there are different approaches to how to learn this question. Rashi's learning that the question is that we just learned in the Gemara that if you have nice cuts of meat, a And then you take the knife and you cut those nice cuts. That's considered a destructive knife act. And since it's considered a destructive act, therefore it should be mutter, ask the Gemara, but it should be usur anyway because of the shamnunis that's on the avoided the Zara. So, and as we said, if that's the question, it has nothing to do with avoid the Zara. The other how essay that the question of the Gemara, other Rishonim, the Tosfos Rosh, that we're going back to the original Gemara. Gemara said that if you're using a knife to shecht an animal, with a knife avoid the Zara, you're using it to shecht an animal. That loch is that it's acceptable because it's a destructive act. But even if it's a destructive act, why should it be mutter? You have another problem. You have the shamnunis that's on the knife, and that shamnunis makes the animal, makes that animal that we're shechting with non-kosher. The Achroinim asked that why wouldn't this be considered a case of takruvus of avodah zarah, and you're not allowed to use and by using this knife, it becomes takruvus of avodah zarah. So the Achroinim answered the Gemara is trying to ask the question: even if it's not an avodah zarah knife, it should still be usur because of the shamnunis. So there's in understanding the Gemara, Rashi explains the Gemara because the concern is there's the shamnunis of nevela absorbed in the knife. The Achroinim say that Rashi is speaking about the telling us a chiddush that certainly if you have shamnunis, if you have the grease on the knife itself, then of course there will be no question that that shamnunis attaches to the animal we want to eat. But the Gemara is asking, Rashi teaches us, that even if it's just nivla, even if it's in the knife, but what happened here is it's just absorbed in the knife, because as we learned, the neck of the animal is hot, so that will cause that the iser, that's belua in the knife, will go into the knife itself. Others explain in a much simpler fashion that some Seifer's approach is that it was highly unlikely, he says, that anybody would take a knife of avodah zarah that has grease actually on it and use it to shecht an animal. But they are not necessarily thinking about the shemnunis. Answers the Gemara, b'chadosha, we're talking about a knife that was never used, and therefore, we don't have to worry about the shamnunis. And as I sort of mefarshim explained, it is considered a knife of avodah zarah. The reason it's considered a knife of avodah zarah because it was designated to be used for avodah zarah. But even though it was designated to be used for avodah zarah, it was never actually used for the avodah zarah, and therefore we have no concern about the shamnunis. Ask the Gemara, but if you're saying that it's a new knife that was never used, chadasha, so ask the Gemara, bein l'Rabbi Shmuel and bein Rabbi Kiva, then it's only considered at that point mishamshe avodes kachavim. And the halacha is that mishamshe avodes kachavim ain asurim, something that was designated to be used as an accessory for avodah zarah, is not prohibited achiyabda until it was actually used. Therefore, says the Gemara, ibayis ema, the pasuk b'gavza. The knife was used in service of avodah zarah, but it was used to chop wood, lavar zarah. So the concern of shamnunis doesn't exist. Ibayis ema, what happened here is it was a knife that was used for the service of cutting meat for avodah zarah, but what happened here was shalibna ba'ar, that they did Liban on it. And since Liban was done here, that is a way of cashing the knife. And by cashing the knife, we don't have this concern. The Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Pesach, Siman Tuf Nun Aleph Sif Dalet, discusses how Liban is accomplished. It says the Shulchan Aruch, Kalim Shnashtam Shemamali, they are Kalim that were used by using just with fire, a frying pan, for example, no liquid involved. Kegoyin, Shvudim Vaskalos Kiyotz Behem Tzrichim Libun. And says the Shulchan Aruch, what is the shear of the Libun? He says, Libun hu atshiyei nitzoytzim nitzvim men. Libun means that it's exposed to fire to the degree that sparks fly from it. Drama says, over the Yesh Mekilim, in the Snabim Kol Kach, if it got so heated, Shekash Nisuf L'Bechutz, if you put a piece of straw on the exterior of that keli, then it will become burnt. The halacha is as follows. If it's something that requires libun, then the halacha is the libun has to be to the degree that tzoyis is nitzin. But sometimes somebody will do libun instead of doing hagola. In a case where libun is done because of and just to be in the place of hagola, the shear is, as the Rama said, kash nisra. The halacha here is the Gemara is only concerned, says the Mordechai, about the kashering of the knife, because the knife was used for non-kosher meat. But why shouldn't we have to be toivel the knife? We know that when we buy a keli from an akum, we have to toivel it. So from here says the Mordechai that a knife that's used for shechita doesn't require tefillah, because after the shechita, the meat is not edible yet, and therefore the halacha is that it doesn't require tefillah. The Tashbatz actually disagrees, and he says that a knife that's used for shechita requires tefillah. The Shulchan Aruch in Yerideh Simen Kuf Chof Sif Hei paskins that tefillah is not required on a knife that's used for shechita. The Rama says that you should do tefillah on such a knife but not make a bracha. Says the Gemara Itma, Hashoichet Yisak and Shalai B'Chavin. So now if you have a knife that belonged to a Nochri that has absorbed into it the Shamnunis of Isser, so the question is, what do you do? Rav Eimer, Kailif, that you have to scrape off the base of Shechita, take off a layer, take out the actual layer that touched the knife, because that layer of meat absorbed from the shamnunas from the knife. It's enough just to rinse that place. In other words, whenever we have a situation that something got absorbed, there are different halachas. There's greda, which means that you just scrape off the outer layer. Then the next is klifa, is that you have to take off klifa. You have to take off as much as it goes in, that as we're learning now. And the third is netilas makom. Netilas makom is even a deeper amount. And since it's a deeper amount, that's the halacha will be that you have to take off a very decent amount. Some say so much that you, when you pick up that piece of meat, if you would take this amount, it'll be able to carry that meat. And therefore the halacha is, you would have to take off that amount to take off the, to make it, that take away the iser that was nivla in the meat. The Rishonim debate, what is the concern here? Is the concern because there might be grease on the knife, or is the concern that there's grease nivla in the knife? What would be the naftamina? The first naftamina would be if it's past 24 hours. So after 24 hours, any issa that's nivla is nois tam legam. And therefore, if it's not nois tam legam, so there, it's nois tam legam, we could be more lenient. And therefore, the Rishonim asks, if the concern is about the bliya, and there's a rule that stam kalim ain't a b'nei yoimam, so if that's the case, why should we be concerned? We should assume that this knife was not used in the last 24 hours. And since this knife wasn't used in the last 24 hours, we could say that the bliya is pogum. And if the bliya is pogum, we have no concern. So Rishonim say a very important answer. And they say that when we say the halacha of stam kelim ena ben yoyman, it's only said by kelim that are not used on a regular basis. So kelim that are not used on a regular basis, we could apply the concept of stam kelim ena ben yoyman. But when we have a knife that is used in a regular fashion, then the halacha is that we don't have to be, then the halacha is we could be, we can't just rely on stam kelim ena ben yoyman. Says Rabbi Bachanama, all you need to do is mediach. All you have to do is just wash that area, and that will be sufficient. Ask the Maralemra Okamufki. What will be the machloikus? What is the basis of this machloikus suggesting tomorrow? The Marasavar, Rabbi Bachana, his opinion is the base of Shechita is Tzoynin. The place where animal is slaughtered, it's cold, and therefore there is no belia, because in order to have belia, it has to be warm. Well, Masover, and Rav's opinion is, the base of Shechita is Reseach, that it's hot, and therefore the halacha is that there is going to be, given that reality, it's going to have to be concerned for belia. Says the Gemara, loy. That's not the way to necessarily explain the machloekes. The kol amah beis shechita reseichu. And the way to understand this Gemara is as follows. The question is, what was the Gemara's havamina to say there's a machloekes if it's considered hot or not considered hot? The obvious question is, hot or not hot is a fact. The answer is that certainly there's a level of heat. And the Gemara was suggesting that the machloikas here is that level of heat considered in halacha heat? And that was the Gemara's suggestion. Says the Gemara, that isn't the machloikas. Rather, everybody agrees, beis shechita reseichu, that the beis shechita is considered a place of heat. Mandama koilif, and therefore, the mandama that held that you have to do kli for shaper, because since it's hot, there's a real absorption. Mandama mediach says the reason why hadocha is satisfactory is because I did the tridi simonim lefuki dam, since at the point when we're just cutting them, at that point when we're cutting them, so it's busy trying to expel the blood that's coming out. And since it's busy to expelling that blood, under those circumstances, loy bali, that the halacha should be, it doesn't absorb anything. So ask the Rashba that if that's the case, then the halacha is that if we're salting, we know that we have to salt meat to be able to eat the meat to get out the blood. But the Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara we're going to have later in the Masechta that you're not allowed to salt kosher meat and non-kosher meat together, because we're concerned there's going to be blood going from one to the other. But ask the Rashba that now that the Gemara said that once when something is busy expelling blood, we don't have to be concerned about absorbing, so we should be allowed to salt kosher meat and non-kosher meat together. So answers the Rashba, this svara that the Gemara just said, that the heat, that it's busy expelling blood, there's no absorption, says the Rashba, it's only if a lot of blood is coming out. So when you're killing an animal, there's a lot of blood exiting the animal. And there the Gemara says, the Svara, I did the Tari lefukidam loibali. But when you have two pieces of meat that you're salting to expel the blood, it's not a situation of a lot of blood coming out. You can't say the Svara. Ikadamri, a different way of explaining the Machloikis, is that everybody will agree, Beis HaShechita Tzoynin. The Beis HaShechita is not a place that's called Reseach. So if that's the case, there shouldn't be any blia. And therefore, the halacha should be enough. The issue here, Amanda McAuliffe, because it didn't absorb. Amanda Mikhailov, there's a new concern. And that is that Duch Sakina, because the knife is pressing in, the halacha is, therefore, we have to be concerned for absorption. And the question here is, when we say Duch de Sakina, big machlekes rishonim, the Gemara now is teaching us the concept of Duch de Sakina. And the rishonim debate, do we say Duch de Sakina only in something which is warm, like in our case? Because even if the Gemara is saying that the base of Shechita is not considered hot, there is a level of heat there. And therefore, the halacha will be, that's why this mandomer, that's why Rav says klif is required. But if there's duch de sakina on something which is cold, then there's no reason to for klifa. Or do we say duch de sakina, or even on something which is cold? Continues the Gemara. Second trefa. When you have a knife that was used to kill an animal, that was determined to be a trefa. Says the Gemara, plead by Rav Acha Ravina. We have Machlokes Rav Acha Ravina. Chad Omar, that you have to do Hagola B'chamin, because the halacha is that the base of Shechita is hat. And therefore, since this animal has been determined to be a trefa animal, there's blia in this situation from the trefa animal. And therefore, you need to kasher that knife. The Chadomer, and one of them holds the Bitsoinen. It's satisfactory just to wash off the knife. And again, the simple way of, Rashi says, of explaining this machloikis, do we say the base of Shechita is Reseach or not? Or how do we look at Duch de Sakina? Says the Gemara, Hilchas afilu b'tzoinen, the halach is just enough to rinse off the knife. V'ika belis the parsa l'michbarei, if there's a rag that is a hard piece of rag that could then that you could use to wipe off the knife, then loitzorach. Then the halach doesn't require even that you wash off the knife. The halach will be that just cleaning the knife. With that, cleaning the knife with that rag would be satisfactory. Well, mandama b'chamim, according to the mandama that says that you have to kasher it, my tama says the gemara mishum the kabbali is sura. It's being beleya the iser of from the non kosher animal which was determined to be a trefa. So if that's the case, the teranami, even if you use the knife to kill a kosher, and the animal Baruch Shem turns out to be kosher, but there's still a problem of bleya, because when you started killing the animal was a live animal, and that's Evan Menachai. And the halacha is that Evan Menachai is usur, is something that's usur. So you should always have to kasher the knife after you use it for shechita. Answers the Gemara. Amos Bola, when does that bleya take place? Says the Gemara, the Kichaima, when the base of Shechita is hot. Ve'emes Kichaima, it's the heat of the base of Shechita that causes the concern of the Bliya. And says the Gemara, when does that happen? When does the base of Shechita get hot? L'kigamra Shechita, when the Shechita is complete. And therefore, at that time, at that point it's already a kosher animal, and we don't have to be worried about it. And the Prima Godim says that from here we see that until it's killed, it's a live animal. And that a live animal doesn't have a concern of blia and plata. It's only on dead animals that we have to be concerned. But at the time this animal is dead, it's a kosher animal. And therefore, says the Prima Godim in Aruch Chaim Simentov Mem Zayin, that on Pesach, that you, if you have a situation where live fish, you need to maybe had alcohol put on them, and we need to be concerned that that alcohol is not as alcohol that's not kosher or Pesach. We don't need to be concerned only of fish that's not alive, because there we can have a concern about blia. But when the fish is alive, there's no concern about blia. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav HaTabach, the person who slaughters the animal. And as the Mefarshim explained, in those days, the person who slaughtered the animal was also the person who sold the animal. It says, Tzarech Shloisha Sukinim, should have three knives. Echet Shesheichet Ba, one that you shecht with, and don't use that knife for any other purpose, because we have to be concerned that the knife will get wound. Achet Shemechatech Ba'basar, another knife is used to cut meat. That you take off the chalavim, that the chalav from the meat that you're not allowed to eat, should be used with a third knife. Says the Gemara, why do you need this? It should be enough. So we can understand the Gemara saying that we have to have a special knife for the shechita. That knife has to be pristine. But why can't we have two knives, one knife? And what happened is, lachta by basa, first use the knife to cut the meat, which is kosher meat, v'adah lachta by chalavim, and then use it for chalavim. And then, presumably, you'll kasher it. Says the Mark Zayir, Hashem yachta chalavim lachta ka basa, they were concerned that you may reverse the order. Hashta nami mechlefley, but says the Gemara, we still have to be concerned that you're going to use the wrong knife in the wrong way. Answers the Gemara, we don't have to be concerned. Because we have to have two knives, the fact that we have two knives, Islay Akira, reminds us this knife is the meat knife and this knife is the chalav knife. This butcher has to have two pitchers of water. One to rinse the meat, and one for the chalav. Ask the Gemara, again, because we don't want the chalav to get into the meat. But as to the second lechada, says the Gemara, the question that Mefarshim asks is, if this water is cold, why are we concerned? He says that since we're dealing with something that's very greasy, that will leave grease in the water, even if it's cold, that could go into the meat. But ask the Gemara again, for niskan lechada, let's have one pail of water, Nadir by Basav, Nadir by Chalavim. Answers the Gemara, that we're concerned, Shemi Gzer Shemi Yadir Chalavim Vakach Basar. But ask the Gemara, so now that you have two pails, how does that solve anything? Hashta Nami Mechlevlei, why should we be concerned that you're going to use the wrong pail in the wrong time? Answers the Gemara, Kivin Datsukhetarti, since we have two pails and each pail has a designated use, Islay Akira, that will prevent us from using the wrong pail in the wrong place.